All right, hello and welcome to Teen Tech Talk for March 20th, 2006. I'm Drifted Lowy, joined here by Jorgen Vezdal, Corey Holt, Dale Taylor, and our guest Steve Spagnola of Vez2.com. So let's get right into it. And Steve, tell us a little about Vez2.com. I'm a part of it too, but Steve's the main honcho behind it.
Hello, Mr. Delisle. It's nice to finally be on the show. I've been a long-term member of NClass Media, NerdClass for short. It's the same. Anyway, the project really started last year in a computer science class, which actually was codenamed NerdClass amongst us. I basically just wrote a web crawler written in Java for a web compile project, and there was really a lot of problems with it. It wouldn't basically visit a lot of pages. It was really had a poor time basically encoding everything to the database, and it took forever to process, so it was called Ghetto Crawler, because basically it was a bad web crawler. Then over the summer, I kind of looked into the idea more. I really didn't do that much. And then basically, like 4 or 5 months ago, I kind of had the idea that maybe crawling the web is not a very good idea given our capacity, so what I set out to do was take Google's results and reorder them using the new ideas I already put into the web crawler. And basically, I redid the site. Jeff helped me out a lot with adding me a server, giving me a lot of good ideas. And along came Vezto.com, V-E-Z-T-O.com, which is the anyway, what really makes a difference is it doesn't order pages based on popularity. It's fully based on the criteria I set along. It uses a whole lot of mathematics to determine what words are important, analyze patterns and features of words. The one big thing that I actually had a couple months ago was to use word commonality. It's like if I use the word a and is or, they're all very common words. They don't really have much significance. But like an uncommon word, I don't know, like Chevrolet or whatever, or a Logitech stack, that's not used very often, and therefore it has high significance. So in order to catalog word commonalities, I called the internet, and instead of keeping track of web pages, I just keep track of words and their usages. And that's one of the fundamental technologies behind this. So basically, pages are ranked on three criteria: relevance, page type, and name string. Relevance is, like I mentioned before, the mathematical formulas, all that magic stuff that calculates words and because of it, they fit into the context. Page type is something that I don't think too many search engines use. It tries to take into account like what type of page it is you're looking at. Like if you're looking at a long article or a short portal about something. Like if you're doing research, you obviously want to find articles rather than portals. Or if you're looking for like entertainment or news, you probably want to find portals. So page type tries to match what kind of page you're looking for with what kind of page each site is. And finally, pages are based on a criteria called mainstream, which basically measures how it measures exactly how prevalent the content is with respect to the other content and the results. So like if you search for Subway and you get 80 results talking about Subway restaurants and 20 talking about the Subway system in New York City, the one talking about the restaurant will be picked first because obviously a lot of them are talking about the restaurant rather than the fewer thing, the Subway system. And the thumbs to the right of each result actually work hand-in-hand with mainstream. Say, for instance, you are looking for the New York City one, you could rank a page talking about the actual Subway system thumbs up. And what that does is it will promote that page and will move it to the top of the listings, and will also promote the other pages that talk about the Subway system in New York City, and the pages that talk about the restaurant will go down. So that's another thing I put in there, is the thumb ranking system where you can actually interact with search results, and you can reorder the results based on your preferences. So, like I said before, the thumbs try and figure out not only what you're looking for, but what else you're looking for, like the ancillary words, like restaurant or Subway system, and it tries to better match your query with that. And there are a couple little things just to be added on that you can customize your search. You can kind of fine-tune the ratios and the page type, what you're looking for. It's all basically explained on the website. And one other thing I like that I thought was neat, I designed it so whenever you rank pages comes up, it actually keeps track of them, and it basically shades them in green. You can go back to them later, or you can also just see them all at once. If you click on favorite pages, you're able to look at all the pages you marked thumbs up. And I just, like, when I was using it, it was helpful to see what pages I liked, and basically I referred them at another date without having to read through the results again. I mean, I kind of just finished this site in the past week, and I've been testing it myself. I personally use it. I think it works about as well as Google, but I mean, honestly, I like it because the thumb system is interactive. I can keep track of my results, and it also looks better, I have to say, and there are no ads. But realistically, Google is a lot faster and more reliable, I have to say. And it also does a little bit better job of weeding out spam and bad content. So basically, the project as it stands, it's a non-profit, just interest site. It's just there. You can look at it, see what it does. It's basically just there to show people, you know, what we can do as teenagers and how we can make Google better. So that's fine. Check it out, thevezco.com. The EZTO. Jeff, back to you.
All right, thanks, Steve. And I guess we'll let you get going now, all right?
All right, Jeff, I think I'll listen.
What?
Never mind, keep going.
No, you see, if you want to, you can leave right now if you want. But leading into what something, a funny story that came out with that, with Vez2, is that goes in with why the server was down a few weeks ago. We goofed and had MySQL logs running and not, you know, auto-deleting after so many logs. And we ended up having 48 gigabytes of log files on the server. Because I didn't know that was possible, that you can make 48 gigabytes of text files, you know, that quickly. But we managed to do it and scrambled to figure out where all our space went on the server, and then we figured out what it was. But actually, someone who did at our local Mac user group was talking to me and Dale, and he said that he searched, Anglican Chants?
I believe that's what it was.
On Vez2, and when he did it on Google, all these junk results came up and nothing of what he wanted, but he said he found like 4 or 5 results that were relevant to what he was searching, and only on Vez2. So it definitely works for, you know, smaller, odd searches rather than, you know, if you're looking for something broad or something that's more common.
Yeah, Jeff, what I've found is that I've actually found the opposite. When I tested it myself, it works a lot better for, like, just random stuff, like one-word queries, like keyboards or iPods or whatever. But I don't know. It works different for every query.
Yeah.
We're trying to get the testing.
Definitely. And while we're promoting different projects, I'll just talk quickly about my Mac application that I launched on Thursday morning at 4:30 Eastern Standard Time, which is called Caripio, and it's a album artwork finder for the Mac for your iTunes music library. There's other ones like FetchArt and Album Finder 4.6 or something, but this one's unique in that it gets it from the iTunes music store, so you're going to get full high-res 600 by 600 or higher album artwork for your songs, and it looks amazing in Front Row, and looks good in the app button, looks good everywhere, and it's got a pretty good real response. Like the first day I got on cool macOS apps.org or .net, and then some other blogs linked to me. It's also up on Version Tracker and MacUpdate.com. And so far we've gotten around 1,200 downloads. And so I'm happy with that just for, you know, being out for a few days now.
That's really great. Actually got me thinking about adding album mark to my library, so I'm 3 hours today on Album Art, and you're right. The problem is that it gets the albums from Amazon, and there's four different versions, and you have no idea which one is the correct one. So it's a great initiative, and I will definitely be trying it when I get a Mac.
And you're going to, you know, you're the Windows coder. You can always,
port. Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Nudge.
Yeah, but on the Windows side, there is like five applications that do the same thing. I didn't find one that does the gets them from the iTunes Music Store. So
I think I'm the only one that does that.
There is actually a iTunes API or SDK rather. Out there. I haven't read the specs on it yet, but it is possible.
The iTunes SDK?
Yeah, for Windows.
Oh, for Windows. I know there's one for Mac, but that's just for visualizers.
There is one for Visual Studio.
Hmm. I got to look at that. But no, I'm happy with the result. So if you're on a Mac, check it out at nclasssoftware.com or version tracker, Mac update, whatever. But so far, I can see how many queries there have been on for album artwork with the app, and there's been almost 90,000 queries. So that's a lot. That'd be query and download. So probably, you know, like around on average, I'd say 50,000 queries. So I'm very happy with that.
That's great results. Yes.
Yeah, and then there's been good reviews on the web. But the one thing is that you got to have is good. You have to have, you know, to get the best results, have the exact album artist name and album name, and so that it'll get the exact one.
Yeah, I've tested some apps for Windows, and the problem usually is that you have to have the exact spelling, and everything has to be correct. Many albums come with like CD disc one or stuff like that. You have to remove that to make it work perfectly.
Yeah, hopefully by the first version 1.0 or 0.1 right now, I hope to have it so it's a lot less picky. And then my next project will be on making an album organizer, you know, iTunes organizer, so it'll get all the information, all the stuff, make sure, you know, one thing annoys me if I have albums, they won't be, the track numbers won't be right, or like the years won't be right and stuff. So,
and yeah. You should keep your eyes open for the email. Getting a cease and desist from my Apple is not far away.
Don't jinx me, Jorgen.
It's coming.
It's definitely coming.
Actually, sent an application to work for Apple yesterday.
Really.
The Apple Store.
Ah, okay.
Not Apple.
Yeah, I'm not going out to Cupertino, no.
No. What other topics do we have discussed about tonight? Talk about?
I've got one.
Go for it, Corey.
Did you guys hear about the guy, was it Google? The like 15-year-old kid that supposedly got hired by Google?
Yeah, that was BS, I heard.
Yes, and then it turned out to be a hoax that he used a bug in the Google press release software or whatever to post a fake press release saying that he had been hired, and he had said that he'd gotten, like, these ungodly amount of emails and comments on his blog, and his family is actually changing their phone number now. It was hilarious.
Oh. Yeah, he's from New Jersey, I saw, down in southern Jersey, near where Rowan University is. That is any relevance, but are we gonna take this anywhere, or are we just gonna have dead air?
Corey,
do what
now? Do you have anything else to say about this? But it was pretty funny. It's pretty ironic. It's ironic that said that he was hired by Google for finding an exploit in Gmail, but when he's using actually the exploit in Gmail to post a fake story about him thing, so it's kind of a recursive news story right there. Okay,
Alright,
Jorgen, do you have anything else? You said you bought that video player?
Yeah, I ordered my first, I don't want to I don't want an iPod Video because of the battery time, and obviously I like Microsoft products, so I got a
Spuis
Portable Media Center from Microsoft. It's really cheap, so I just went for it, and I'm getting it tomorrow. Slow as post office. So I can't wait to check that out. But I really wanted to hear what Corey had to say about he got a new iPod, didn't he?
Oh yeah, Corey, what happened with that?
Oh yay, I get to talk about my story. Well, I broke my iPod, I dropped it on the floor, and while it stopped working, the hard drive wouldn't spin up, and the screen, actually, if you look at my Flickr account, pictures of just where the little corner is just blacked out. It's just this little radial design. You know, you can obviously tell I dropped it. Yeah, I was pretty mad. I made a couple posts on my blog talking about it. But, so what I did was I was talking to friends, and I was thinking about, you know, would Apple believe me if I said it just stopped working? And one friend of mine was like, you know, obviously not, because the radial design in the corner of where it blacked out could obviously have some sign of impact to tell that, you know, it didn't just stop working, I dropped it. So what I did was I took the iPod apart, and I took the little LCD filament, or whatever you call it, the sections of the LCD screen, I took it out and rolled over it with a mouse to break it, so it turned completely black, and I put it back in the iPod, and unplugged all the cables so the backlight wouldn't come on and nothing would work. I put it all back nice together, you know, shined a little bit, you know, took my t-shirt to it, made it look all nice. And I put it in the box, and I went to the Apple Store, which, ooh, Apple has such great support. They're amazing. I had this little, I went there, like, a couple of days earlier and was like, you know, it stopped working. Well, the guy put me over to this iMac and was like, all right, you need to log in. And he was like, okay, people in front of you, there could be wait up to an hour. And I was like, I'm not going to sit here for an hour just to get somebody to talk to me. So I went home and made an appointment online for, I think it was 3:40. It was like, make sure you're at the Genius Bar by 3:40 to be helped on time. I was there at like 3:30 and didn't get called up until 5 o'clock to get, you know, to talk to somebody. And I went up there, it was this nice girl, you know, she's like, you know, can I help you? And being very nice about it. And she noticed that you can tell when the iPod's open because it doesn't seal all the way completely. There was a little gap. And I was like, okay. She was like, you know, there's a gap right here. It's not supposed to be like that. She asked me if I dropped it, and I said no. And I was like, it was always like that. I mean, I've had it in a case ever since the day I bought it, and this is my first iPod. I just thought they were supposed to be like that. And so she believed me, and she went to the back and pulled out a new iPod, and I went home.
You're going to hell, Corey.
Wait, what now?
I said you're going to go to hell now. You made Steve Jobs angry. I think we're all getting Apple angry this week. I might be getting sued. Corey's stealing their merchandise.
Yeah, you're stealing Steve's big thing that when you download the legal music, you get album art with it. And now you're allowing all of us pirates to get album art as well.
Speaking of ironic, going along with that, do you see Apple's new commercial?
Yeah, I saw it.
Log at apple.com, you can see the new commercial. And
that's crazy.
Album art, and it was like released the same day that I released my thing, so I...
Yeah, it's all about album art.
It's all about album art, it made me chuckle. But yeah, I got a few emails. One, like, I think was from Italy. I saw with the at, you know, .com with that, and let me pull up the email, what he says. He said, let me find it. But I got a pretty, good response, a bunch of emails. But here, this is what the guy said. I hope you understand that Apple is going to sue you for the software. And that was the extent of the email. And I responded back, and I said, let's hope not, ... Jeff Delaney. So.
That's totally Apple. I don't get why they do that.
I don't know, so, whatever, I don't know.
It's promoting their software.
I know, we'll gotta see, you know. Whatever. I think, and maybe they'll see their, you know, I don't know. Apple will sue anyone and fire anyone if they do anything, you know, that's not in the, you know, whatever. Just rambling. All right. So any other things you want to talk about? Dale, you haven't said anything lately.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I've been doing this weekend since we've been going off on the whole project thing. Well, I'm finally starting my project that I've been putting off for a very, very, very long time. Jeff has been definitely on my back about that. So I went out this weekend and I got the book Agile Web Development with Rails. It's it'll help me write my application based on Ruby on Rails. It's going to be called footlogger.com, and it's going to be an Ajax-based kind of thing that you can just drag and drop lots of things, and you can log all of your physical activities, and it'll be very graphical with like lots of click buttons and little pretty features, and just really simple, easy, and that's what I want to do.
Physical activities, meaning Corey would not be using it.
No. Sitting in gaming doesn't count.
What are you guys saying about me? You guys are mean. Wait, what did you say?
No, Dale was just saying how his website that he's working on is gonna, so you can log your physical activities such as running and stuff. I said, look, that Corey's out now.
I'm out too.
Oh, and Jorgen too?
Definitely.
So you're gonna have to bring any good Channel 9 videos lately? I've been starting to get into them, but I go to you first to see which ones are good. There's a lot of good ones out there.
Have you seen the Origami Project one?
Yeah, I saw that one.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think so. There's any big stuff out.
Mm. But it's really good. Check it out. What's the website? Channel 9 that
MSDN.com.
.com, yeah.
Go on.
No, you're saying. I was just rambling.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you guys what you thought about if there will be an Apple event on April 1st or not.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about today about that, but I'm thinking probably. But I don't know. The time's ticking now.
Well, I think that would be a perfect time because, like, they've said the things about the Jabra thing with the Bluetooth for the iPod headphone interface. And I'm thinking that would be something that would be perfect to announce there. I mean, even though it's kind of like, that would be like a minor thing. There's probably a lot to go along with it, but, I mean, it's something.
Gotta see that new iBook. Yeah. It's probably
gonna be right. Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
Well, that's gotta happen soon, because they've gotta get it out before people start buying their laptops over the summer for college.
I bet the
iBook... Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I bet the iBook's gonna be... Like the Mac Mini, you can either have the Solo or the Duo.
Solo, yeah, I think so too.
But did you see that post thing? I don't know where it was on, but of they installed and set up 3,000 iBooks at a public school.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that is amazing. Like how many
it was sick.
In 3 days, or whatever. It's like amazing how many laptops they set up. But, yeah, but we missed a few weeks because the server being down and then a whole bunch of factors. I had it fixing this website.
Yeah.
But we missed a lot of things. Origami, the UMPC.
Friday, XP booting off Intel Mac.
Oh, yeah, and then also the Apple announcement we missed. But going on...
Oh,
what?
If anyone saw the Mac Minute on that... They showed you going through it and how it actually worked. They ran it on one of the new minis. It's just the problem was that the driver support really isn't there. So like they had like a 30-inch cinema display, they could only use like half of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, they said actually the video drivers for it just like got out a couple hours before the show. Someone like posted them on a forum.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was Mac Break.
Yeah, Mac Break. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And the talking about UMPCs, the new ultra-mobile PCs from a bunch of third-party, vendors and stuff. But I think they're pretty cool. I'd use one. The only downside is that they're running XP, If they're using something across between XP, Tablet Edition, and, like, a Pocket PC, and something that wasn't, just XP, I'd probably use it. Not something that's, like, it's on the Google cool software, not software, not just, XP. Nothing really.
And
it's kind of smashed.
What?
What?
If you I'm going to get that, yeah. What I wanted to say was, Jeff, if you saw that Channel 9 video, you saw that he held up a model that what they were shooting for.
Yeah.
What it wanted to become, that was pretty slick.
Yeah, I really think like, so.
Yeah, that was pretty thin, and you kind of saw it coming, or it's easy to say now, but when they announced that Vista, all Vista editions would have a tablet built in, that's a sign that they would have been releasing something like this. Of course, Bill Gates will say that it's a huge success, but I'm guessing it'll die and used by only Microsoft employees.
I think we should have a guess on how many features are going to be taken out of the next Vista before it releases in November.
We've already got EFI support out.
And WinFS was taken out a little bit ago. I think
Nomad, the shell execute commander, is gone.
All right, so I think, is this just going to be Windows XP with a skin on it?
Glass.
There we go. We have a new Windows thing.
Apparently, it's built up from the ground.
Yeah, it took us 6 years to make this new interface.
And we took everything out of it.
How many employees do they have there at Microsoft?
60,000.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty pathetic.
So, I can't wait. It's going to be great. And Windows Media 11 as well. It looks pretty slick. Even though I'm guessing I'll still keep using iTunes.
Well, that's good. Well, but the future is now here for us Mac users.
Yeah.
Future's been 4 years ago, actually.
It's even more than that.
In the proverbial time zones of computers, you know, the Mac is China.
It's kind of weird how Microsoft do it. Apple put all the announcements into one big keynote, and they blow everybody's minds. Microsoft pushes some out there, and then somebody writes like four viruses that'll use that feature, and they put it out again, like Monad, which is like the shell that you can run commands from. They put it out there, and four viruses were written in like I guess 2 days, and then they pulled it out again. And at some point, they didn't allow files to be written to the C drive or to the root of the C drive, and of course every developer in the world depends on this, and they pulled it out again, and WinFS didn't get it done, pulled it out, and hopefully they'll have some features when they release it.
How different is the .NET development or C# development from XP to Vista?
Well, there's a lot more. Of course, Visual Studio has a huge library of MSDN code and SDKs and stuff like that. And the big two things are the Windows Communication Foundation, which was codenamed Indigo, and that's more of the playing on the live features with the mapping services and the messenger and stuff like that. There's a lot coming in that direction, and also the graphics engine, which was called WinFS, which is now called the Windows Presentation Foundation, and that's what allows the transparency and the 3D graphics in the operating system to work. So there's a lot. The SDK is out there if you really tweak your system, but when Vista comes, Visual Studio developers will have a lot to get their hands on. Especially with the communication stuff. You provide a lot of stuff for the mapping services and all the live services, really.
Will apps now that run on XP, will they have the glass feature? Like, will they have transparency?
For XP?
No, I'm saying...
For XP?
No, I'm saying if I take, Office 2001 or whatever and put it on Vista, will it have the glass and stuff?
That's just a frame.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
All right, I was, was wondering if
there was no Office 2001.
What? Sorry, I don't remember my Office numbers. But I'm saying if they had, you know, I'm saying I know if the pro, if how Microsoft did it was the programmers had to put that usability in or that it was not. But
they're saying it's going to be really versatile and really easy to use in your different applications. So hopefully that's true, and I can't wait to see what kind of apps will emerge.
So if I run VisiCalc on it, will it have the transparency?
If you can get VisiCalc to run on it, I'm guessing so, yes.
All right, good. I need that.
I saw the Dan Bricklin interview for No TV today, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else have anything else to say? We've reached 32 minutes.
Not really.
I've got something to talk about.
Go for it.
I recently came across this really cool service for blogging, for bloggers, called BlogMad. Currently it's invite only, but I was able to get an invite through a friend of mine. It's basically just a service for bloggers. It comes with different services and cool stuff. It's mostly about just, you know, a one-to-one ratio of getting your blog seen and seeing other people's blogs. Which you can do is one service is you can surf through people's blogs. It just comes up with a link of the person's blog and then a little toolbar at the bottom. You have to stay at the website for like 25 seconds or something, and then it does a little validating thing just to make sure that you're actually seeing the blog. And it's a good way of just, you know, seeing other people's blogs and getting yours seen, because every time that you see every blog that you see, it does a counter. Like, if you have 100 blogs seen, then 100 people will see your blog, essentially. So it's really cool. There's other different services, and you earn credits, and then you can buy credits by buying text ads. So people that put text ads on their blog, your link will appear there for as many as you pay for. Like, I think you get like 100 page impressions per credit. Right now it's very small because it's invite only. The one thing I did come across is that when you're surfing through blogs, you tend to see the same blog twice every now and then, but once it opens up for public and it gets more known, then that will go away. But overall, it's a really good service. I posted just a little write-up on it on blog, just talking about the different features, and it's a really cool site, and I'd recommend it to any blogger. The website is blogmad.net. I have the ability to give out as many invites as I want, but actually, according as I logged in, public beta in 21 hours, so actually, if you can wait that long, then, you know, no need for an invite. But yeah, it's a really cool service, and anybody should check it out.
Very cool. Anything else for you?
Did any of you guys catch that Kevin Rose on his blog? He put a audio post, I guess. Anybody read his blog?
I used to. I haven't read it in a while.
It's kind of dead. But what he said was that he's figured out what Google's strategy is, and it's kind of apparent for most people. But he's talking about how they'll integrate all the services and Flickr and, you know, Gmail, and have everything integrate with each other and the calendars and stuff like that. It's really interesting to hear, and I don't want Google to run the world, but it would be kind of cool with that system. If you get a mail, it automatically get a message, and you have a calendar that automatically pops up, and the pictures are automatically built into that. Like, everything integrated. And he's really excited about it, despite the fact that he's, I don't know, kind of a competitor with Dig.
There's been a lot of things pushing that for a lot of years, all this digital convergence crap. And I still have yet to see anything that's worked right, you know? I just want a PDA that works. I haven't found one yet. PDA/phone that works. Can't find it.
Nope.
I guess you want Symbian or Linux.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Their interfaces are crap.
There's the Nokia, I think it's called 7070. It's a tablet. It's
yeah.
A tiny.
Yeah, that's the thing we saw when we were at Log IP. A developer from Ubuntu came and he showed how when that was coming out, they had developer packages that you could buy for like not really that much, and it included everything that you needed to write code for it.
Yeah, and they actually, when I forget his name right now, but I'll think of it. But he's one of the lead developers of Ubuntu. But he said at the developers conference, I think it might have been in Norway, that I think they were selling for $99, and all the money proceeds that $99 went to an open source project.
So. DVD John is really pushing that. He had one himself.
Oh, it's Jeff Wall, by the way.
Jeff Wall, that's his name, yeah. So. But yeah, maybe I'll look into that. I don't know. But I want something, I don't know. The one thing I really want, I was looking at cell phones today. I was looking around the web, I was looking to buy, an unlocked phone from Europe, maybe buy the new Razer V3X or something like that, or the Pebble or some other phones over there, because Singular doesn't have any new phones yet. But one thing I really want is, if I had a Windows computer, I'd probably buy a Pocket PC with one of the smartphones, because then I could do a Skype with the Wi-Fi into a hotspot and Skype instead of, having and use my call out minutes instead of using a cell phone, save me money. Then I can call your
Yeah. There is Skype on my Pocket PC. I don't have Wi-Fi built in, so I have to use a expansion card. So I don't really use it that much. But if you don't approve of Windows on the cell phone aspect, you're really kind of locked down. And, of course, I like Windows on almost every device. But Nokia is really doing a lot of cool stuff with Symbian and Skype built in on some of them.
Yeah, I played around with one of those new Nokia phones. And it was all right. I might look into that because Singular has that phone.
Obviously, since I live in Scandinavia and Finland, where Nokia is from, we get all the phones from there, and I guess it's because we have the GSM network as well.
Yeah, I'm on GSM too, and it was actually pretty funny today because I was watching DLTV TV before this, and they talk about when I get with my phone all the time, even when my speakers are from my computer are off, or my speakers in my room are off. There's a little pinging like a before my phone goes off.
And yeah, we don't even notice that anymore.
Yeah, they were talking about that, and they were just saying,
they actually just had a rant about that on DLTV, the last episode, I think.
That's yeah, the last episode.
That's what I was just saying.
Oh, okay.
I just said 30 seconds ago. But,
I was drifting. I'm not really paying attention.
Yeah, because it's pretty funny what they said, because I look at my phone, and I'm like, it's about to ring. And they were in the middle of the night, it'll scare me. I hear this clicking noise. I'm like, oh, my phone.
Yeah, I get that all the time.
One time, my phone was downstairs, pretty far away, and my speakers started going. It was my phone all the way down there. I'm like, oh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, when I lived on the top floor of this house, every time somebody got a call, and there was five cell phones in the house. Every time somebody got a call, all my speakers went off.
But my new speaker, I got there's my new Harman Kardon sound sticks. They don't get it at all. My older, I think Lansing did it, but my Sony ones in my room do it too. So I don't know. I think it's probably depending on what kind of shielding or maybe that's what they're saying on cable TV. Yeah. So, but I think if we have nothing else to say, it's been 40 minutes. We should probably wrap this up. Steve, if you're still here, we thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and definitely check out Fez2.com. And while you're at it, check out my app at nclassoftware.com. Check out Jorgen's new blog template and stuff using Web 2.0 technologies at noblogger.org. And look for Footlogger and check out Corey's blog with a URL I cannot pronounce.
http://cholt.net. It's just C Holt. Right. My first initial and my last name is not that hard, Jeff.
Yeah, I didn't know because you had the other one at cbx.xx, whatever. But I think with that, let's end it. And Thank you, and goodbye.
Bye.
All right, I'm gonna edit this one tomorrow. It's funny.
I gotta go to school soon.
What time? Is it 4
in the morning, yes.
Thanks.
And I have another economics test. That guy's writing us, man.
Hey, Steve, if you're still here, see, there's someone who stays up crazy hours like you do. Alright, well, Jorgen, it was, as always, a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, finally got it work.
Yeah, well, do you know what the problem is, or no?
Yeah, I told you about that, right? I blew up my entire, all my USB ports, 9 USB ports,
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So now all my devices run through a 2 USB port tablet PC.
Must be Windows. I'm just joking.
I'm buying a new motherboard this week.
Oh boy.
So it'll be fixed by then.
Oh wow.
Yikes.
That's pretty crazy.
It's weird. Everything else is working, and even when I plug something in, it lights up, gets power, everything, but it doesn't work. I formatted the entire PC. I've tried Nopix, nothing works. So I'm just going to buy a new motherboard.
Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll let you know when it goes up. Well, you'll see it online. But yeah, everyone should if you're getting through iTunes, you have to resubscribe because the feed went down. When the server went down. But now it's back up. Alright?
Yes.
Alright. Adios.
Peace.